Hey, everybody, it's me, Andy Clodfelter.
And I'm Lisa Monahan.
And you're listening to 90s Court.
I was doing Blue's Clues. You're just like
yeah,
winging it.
Yeah, it's whenever you're like, maybe I'm going to find my way into a song. Nope, I'm just making noises. Listen, gang, you're back. If you're listening to this podcast, you either know what it is or you don't. If this is your first show, welcome. Honestly, I'm going to be honest. Weird one to come in on.
Weird just one. Like, weird energy.
Weird energy. And honestly, I'm just like, I just think of myself looking through 88 episodes plus a bunch of bonus ones and being like, I want the ones with the Doritos that are hollow. And
you know that every time we do food, it's one of our best episodes.
It is. And it's like the food is the most fun because it's just complete bullshit. So welcome. Get ready for some bullshit. So just a quick rundown of what 90s Court is and what you're listening to. Lisa and I, we're old pals. We actually don't know each other that well. We had slightly different experiences in the 90s, but slightly similar experiences in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking to you about a couple things in the 90s and pairing them against each other in court, where each of us will discuss a different thing, such as the things that are, you know, in the title of this episode, and explain why maybe ours is better or maybe why ours is dumb, and we won't actually defend it at all, and we'll just both talk about how it's an insane thing that the 90s brought, because that's really most of what this show is us being like, what, why did you do this?
Why are you the way that you are, 90s?
But before that, we like to talk about a couple things from the 90s that are maybe lesser known, maybe things that are kind of like just like hiding in the back of your skull, and then we say the word and then it pops back up. It's like, I'm still here, motherfucker. And it gets you. and that's why there's such a high mortality rate listening to this show. Because we bring
this
monsters.
This show is the Ring, the podcast.
It's the Ring, the podcast, except you die immediately and there's no redeeming qualities. Anyways, that's what this podcast is. So I'm going to turn it over to Lisa for our Patreon shoutouts.
Yeah, before we do Patreon shoutouts, happy birthday to us. We are both now 36 years old.
Happy birthday to us. We're really dumb age. If you're also 36, you get it. So don't be offended that we said it was dumb, because we're it.
I'm often the eldest in my friend group when we hang out, and I hate that. And it never changes. I will always be the eldest. I hate that. Anyway, Patreon shout out. So what's up, Patreon people? Thank you to the newly graduated Judge David, whom we love so much. We welcome you back. We love you here.
When did he get a law degree?
He got a law degree and was promoted to judge after being a member of the jury.
Didn't at all, like, skipped completely being an attorney, just went straight to being a judge.
Did you know that if you serve on the jury enough times, like if you get a punch card and once you hit 10
you get a free sub or be a judge, one of the two.
I personally like the sub sandwiches, but being a judge for a case is
kind of
fun.
I get it though.
Too.
If I was David, I'd probably be like, I'll be the judge.
Yes, and also a huge thank you to Judge Troy and Judge Gabriel, who selected the topic for this episode. Pretty big banger.
Yeah.
We're excited. I actually extended the offer for him to be on the show. He said, no, I'm going to fuck it up. I was like, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what would have happened.
So just so you guys, you all know, if you forgot, we, as part of being a judge on this show, you do get to select the option for what we cover in an episode. And Gabe did select this one, which was Doritos 3D versus Pop-Tarts Minis. So thank you so much for the selection, Gabe. So if you're like, man, this was such a good call, be like, man, Gabe's such a smart person. If you think it sucks, then tell that to Gabe.
Yeah, go after Gabe.
I think it's a banger. So
you've been wanting to cover yours for a very long time. So thank you, Gabe, for this one. And then shout out to our bailiffs. We have Vincent. So happy to see you back on Instagram. Welcome back. Anthony, Lindsay, Jacqueline, and Michael. What's up? Thank you. We love you.
We love you. Thank you. And I'm Andy. I got some random plugs. I just wanted to quickly say, hey, you know how you listen to 90s Court? Why don't you check out Lisa's other podcast? She's got this other podcast she does with her husband, and they're both fucking hilarious, and it's amazing. And it's like this show except it's just like it's this whole different dynamic, and I love hearing it because just the pairing and the energy and the and oh my god, it's great. So it's called No Skips Podcast. It's called No Skips. It's really, really great. And they talk about music because and I also was a skipper, meaning that, like, you know, you get an album and you're like, okay, I like this song. Okay, that song sucks. Moving on. So it's where they kind of listen to one album and listen to the entire thing through, like, very popular albums, and they talk about it. And Lisa sometimes explains why she thinks the album's just bad. And
that is often.
And her husband is usually says just the dopest shit ever about, like, he's just, I'm sorry. Jack is very, you guys are both just say such great things about music. It's very cool.
I'm glad you like it so much, dude. Thank you. Yeah,
so you we're covering. Check it out.
We're covering Nine Inch Nails, The Downward Spiral this week, and I am not ready for that. I've been listening to it, and it is putting me into a weird spirit. So, anyway, and then you have something very big to talk about.
Yeah, no, actually, it's very small. As I was just like, and check out RadLadGames.com. Why? Because I don't have anything else to plug. Because I'm not doing an Almost Fascination.
You have the domain.
I'm sorry. I do have that RadLadGames.com. It's, you know, it's, I have some stuff for sale on there. It's, for the most part, it's just for funsies. I had a contest this past week, where I put on like a little trivia, like game or whatever. It was just a little logic puzzle that I put on there as part of a trivia thing. I might leave it up there just for people to solve. So if you want to hop in there and do a little D&D related puzzle, you can do it.
Love it.
So yeah, radladgames.com, or you can check me out on social media. Why? Because it's a store that probably isn't anywhere near you.
Coming to an area nowhere near you.
Coming to an area not near you. So
true that.
But anyways, to the 90s we go. Lisa.
Let's go back in time to a very special year. I'm talking, let's go back to 1991. I was in the mood to cover music. I was going to cover Biz Markie's Just a Friend in honor of him passing away. R.I.P. Biz Markie. But Just a Friend dropped in 1989. I was like, I fudge it enough. Let's not fudge it. So this week, I'm talking. I didn't. We've been fudging so much. I was like, I'll do something.
I don't actually care. I was just pretending.
So 11 minutes of my life was spent today watching a music video from 1991. 11 minutes.
11 minutes?
11 minutes. And that is because I'm dissecting Michael Jackson's Black or White music video, the long version.
Whoa.
Okay. So we all remember, no matter if you're black or white, like that. So that's that song. Okay. The video. We all know this part. I did like a trail thought, like Andy does sometimes. I just need to go over this music video with you because there was a shortened version that we all knew because it was like the four and a half minute version. But there is an extended version of like 7 additional minutes that had to be cut because it was so controversial. So let's get started. The shortened version is the same as the long one, opening with Macaulay Culkin going fucking ham in his bedroom listening to rock music. You remember
this. I'm watching it on silent as you're talking, so yes.
Okay, so his father, who's, I don't know the actor off the top of my head, but he comes screaming into his room and telling him to turn that shit down and tells him that he's wasting his time listening to this junk, right? So then Macaulay Culkin gets a giant speaker, wheels it into the living room where his father is resting, plugs in the guitar, and just jams the heaviest chord, which sends his father into space.
What?
In his rocking chair, just sends him into space. And his mom's like, well, he's not going to be happy about that. And then we are suddenly with lions.
Listen.
And then some, I would say maybe African hunters are after the lions. And then the dad comes landing in the desert near them. and then they start dancing. And Michael Jackson is suddenly also there with them dancing. And then,
it took such a long time for Michael Jackson to come into the video.
It did. This is a long video. So then he and the hunters like tear off into this next room where Michael Jackson starts dancing with some Thai female dancers. And then they're suddenly on the set where like American or like Native American Indians are just fighting like crazy. And then there's like a Sri Lankan woman who's doing a lovely dance in a lane of traffic with like smokestacks in the background. Then we have Russian dancers which turns into like Michael Jackson standing in the center of them while they're doing this really crazy Russian dance around him. It's beautiful, and it starts snowing, but then the scene that they're in turns into a snow globe. And that snow globe is in the hands of two chunky babies, one black, one white, who are sitting on top of the earth playing with this snow globe. Oh, and I'm just like, what the fuck is happening? Okay, so then Michael Jackson comes like screaming at us through some images of fire and crosses burning and war. This is when we shoot to a rap sequence that is lip synced by Macaulay Culkin on a stoop with other kids. Then Michael Jackson is on the torch of the Statue of Liberty, where it pans out and like the most iconic elements from each country are just in the background, like the Eiffel Tower, the Golden Gate Bridge, like everything is just behind it. And then
the Golden Gate Bridge. Wow.
Yeah. And so
the majestic country of San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, I can't think of the Egyptian cat. Oh, I cannot think of the words Sphinx. Right now. I told you this. Sphinx. Thank you, Andy. Gosh, thank you so much. The Sphinx is there. And so this is where we move into the face morph thing that we all remember, right? Where they're like, it's black, it's white. And it's like a large Asian man morphs into Tyra Banks, which morphs into like a ton of different people. And honestly, 91 to 2021, 30 years later, the morphing still holds really well. Really, really well. Okay.
Holy shit. Yeah, I'm watching it. It still holds.
And this is where the shortened video ends. It has the last female, she's black, she's doing this beautiful like head bob and she's so cute, and then it pans out to the studio, but this is where the shortened version ends and the extended version begins and life begins anew, because there is a black panther on the set and the panther walks off the set and like onto a street, and like it the black panther turns into Michael Jackson, who is now in the street. And he puts on a tiny black hat, and then he starts doing his jerky dance moves, but with the most ridiculous, airy, whippy sound effects. And for you, I'm going to play these now because I was cackling. Please. Listen. It's like 4 minutes of this.
Are these just, is that, because I'm watching right now, I just finally got the full one pulled up. Is this, yeah. So it's just him dancing, but they're doing these sound effects to him dancing?
Yes. I can't handle it. I was dying laughing.
So this is looking like Singing in the Rain, but just.
But it's just. There's no plot. Just this. No, it's just this in the rain.
He's breaking a lot of glass. Oh, he's beating this car. Holy shit.
Well, hold on. Wait.
He's destroying this car.
I haven't gotten there yet. Stop.
So, a huge gust of wind.
It's okay. A huge gust of wind comes through and like he like looks up at you like he's got these saucy like hey baby eyes, and then he just drops into this insane dance sequence where there's no music. It's just all the sound effects and him like jerking and stepping and like grabbing himself and breathing a little too hard. And by the way, the crotch grab he does is a little concerning to me, because he would grab, but his, this is maybe a little too detailed, but I would just say that it is more of a feminine feeling motion than masculine is all I need to say about that. So then he goes to the car and he just starts fucking it up and grabbing so much of his crotch at the same time. And it's just, he's just like taking a crowbar to the windshield and stuff like this, and just like I think he like elbows a window. It's like, okay buddy, like okay, but he's just this whole sequence we're just watching him beat shit up and touch himself and breathe and what? Like
holy
step.
Shit, yeah, they're putting a lot of close-ups on the crotch touch.
And at some point he zips up his pants, like, so in 91 Michael Jackson was huge and kids loved him, and Macaulay Culkin, the biggest star at the time, was featured in all his music video, or not all his music videos, but was like they were doing a lot of the stuff, same stuff together. So to have a kid actor like that in your video means you're going to get a lot of kid viewers. So this whole situation had to be scrubbed because everyone was like, what the actual fuck is happening here? And like at one point he drops to his knees in a puddle and starts ripping his clothes off and screaming, which is like spliced over the sound of a large panther like scream shouting as well. And then he starts crawling away and then turns back into the panther, which is walking down the street, which tracks back to expose that it was Bart Simpson watching it on his TV at home.
Like, was he just like, this is like Brewster's Millions, where at the end he's like, they're like, we need you to spend $1 billion in one music video. And he's like, watch me. And he just like
say
trying
no more,
to
fam.
Figure out like just needless expenses for like, it's like Super Bowl ads where they're like, we're already spending so much just for this ad spot, so I guess we'll just spend millions and millions of dollars.
See,
for a bad commercial.
You say that, it actually cost $0 to listen to Michael Jackson just breathe and kick in a street for like 7 minutes straight.
They broke a lot of stuff though. I mean, there's like the rights to all of this stuff, like the actors and all that stuff. It's just, I will say this is from watching, I had a thought. I was so, oh yeah, the whole part, the last part that they had to cut, I just felt like it felt like just all of a sudden they were going to zoom out. And it would be, you know, the side eye monkey that like kind of looks like awkwardly, like looks over like the meme or the
yes.
GIF that's like,
yes.
Like it was going to be that for a second. And then that was going to be the end of it. Like, it was a funny thing. They're like, wow, what an insane random collection of things. But they're like, no, this was serious.
This was intense. This was serious. And also,
wow.
According to Wikipedia, not only was this whole last sequence of dancing like a sexy panther person scrubbed, but it was also there was also graffiti that had been added after the fact that was very racist, like on the windows and things that he broke, things like Hitler lives and I can't say some of the other ones, and like the KKK rules or something, like those things were on there, and they had to, like, that got scrubbed even further.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole video was like basically, every single one of Michael Jackson's videos from this era are worth talking about, and I will talk about them over time. But Black or White took the credit, or like took it today, because I was just like, y'all, y'all.
Yep.
Go watch the 11 minute. If you have 11 minutes, yep. Some coffee, go watch it.
Yeah, it's just like I was watching the shortened one, and I didn't even realize it. I was like, oh, Lisa must have been wrong about the 11 minutes. And then she's like, and
no.
Then there's more. And I, yeah, and then there's more part is. As insane as it sounds, sometimes we exaggerate here on 90s Court, but she
nope,
was not.
Not. Hey, our judge Gabriel loves ASMR. Hey, Gabe, how you like this? It's so much. It's just to watch and listen to it, unironically. It's just weird, Andy. That's so creepy. That's my thing. What is your thing, Andy?
Okay, so my thing is not Michael Jackson. So briefly, I'd like to bring up. So back in the late 80s and early 90s, we all know Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, it's funny saying the late 80s, early 90s that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So you know how Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have been just popular forever since the late 80s?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So they were still looking for the next hot thing in the early 90s. And they're like, what's going to be like the new TMNT situation? And fortunately, there was a collection of people who they got one of the artists from the original TMNT team to branch off and create their own series, because they were like, hey, we've already figured out the method, which is, you make a TV series, that way you can make the toys, right?
Right.
And so clearly they wanted to make, apparently, a thing. And so they made a TV series about it, because he wanted to make the toys and a video game. And that was called The Cowboys of Moo Mesa.
What the hell?
And before you ask what that is, first off, I'd like to play just a little bit of a sample of this.
What the hell is this?
Oh, Okay. So if you were listening, you probably didn't hear like the lyrics, but did you notice how like
dope ass shit it was?
From what I've seen from this, because this thing is, I know I've at least seen some of this cartoon because the some of the figures like are triggering something so hard in my brain that I'm like, I know I've seen this, I know I saw this several times, and I know that I've at least seen the toys, but I don't know where I saw the toys at. So here's the thing. I want to talk to you about, so you've seen it. You've seen the pictures, you looked it up. So for those of you out there who are like, what's the Cowboys of Moon Mesa? Well, it's they were like, hey, what if cows? So they did cows. a lot of, you know, like it's they thought, what's the most clever pun, which is, what if we did cowboys, but they are cows? And that was it. Boy. That was their premise. And then they were like, do we want to make the show good? And they're like, well, don't worry about that. We got the cow thing. So we're just going to make it like the Wild West, but cows. Like, no, like, and from what I could see from watching it, like, this was not a comedic or funny show. It was just like, let's do some, like, serious, like, not, like, super serious, but, like, just a story-driven thing where they're like, hopefully people really appreciate the plot and, like, and really appreciate the fact that these are, in fact, cows this entire time. Because they're like, we just want you guys to watch this show. We'll put out a couple seasons. Hopefully you buy some toys. And I'll be honest, some of the cows look fucking rad. Like, I'm not sure if you're looking at them right now. But yeah. So what do you think cow stands for? That's right. Cowboys.
No. What?
That's right. It's C period Z O period W period boys of Moon Mesa.
So cowboys, boys.
No, it's just cow C O W, but it's clearly made out to be an acronym. They make it clear that it is, because cow apparently, despite the fact that they mention it once in this entire fucking article, which I'm like, you made it so clear with the periods after everyone's like, okay, what's the acronym? And it was, okay, COW stands for Code of the West.
What the fuck, Andy?
So Code of the West boys, because they wouldn't call themselves, because they're not boys that are handling cows. They wouldn't be self-referential like that. I guess they were like, oh, we need to make it an acronym because that'd be weird if they're cowboys. Like, and they're like the equivalent of like Goofy herding Plutos. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't. Do you get that reference? I don't.
Like a sentient dog herding a non-sentient dog.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like Goofy's herding Plutos, the equivalent of that. So they had to make it. They're like, okay, we need cow to mean something else. So they said, okay, code. Like, how are we going to get the O in there? Code of West? And they're like, no, we got to do the. But we're gonna have the of count, but the is not going to, even though they are equally unimportant. So they got away with that and said, it's like, it's cow. Fuck it. We're making this for toys. Shut up. So they did that. But the cool thing is, in addition to the fact that if you see these, you will see, especially like, I think the black and white cow, especially with the blue hat, like that one, for whatever reason, sticks out in my head the most.
Yes.
The biggest, most lasting impact of this is actually a video game that they made. I had not played it, but it said, they're like, yeah, it was a cult classic and people still love it. And so I was like, I wonder if this video game is anything like Sunset Riders. I've brought that up on the show before, but it's been a long time ago. Sunset Riders is one of my favorite arcade games. Most people are like, oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, and all these other great games, you know, X-Men, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Simpsons, all those ones. Sunset Riders was a great one. It's a run and gun shooting game that came out in 1991. This game, The Cowboys of Moon Mesa, the video game, it was an arcade only, just in arcades, where there's like four controllers and you can be one of four cows. They have different outfits and slightly different fur colors. And I watched some gameplay of it, and it is exactly like Sunset Riders. And by that, I mean like clear. It is so evident that they were just like, hey, you know that game that came out less than a year ago, Sunset Riders? Let's do that. But with cows. So they just totally ripped it off. And it might even be by the same people. I didn't check. But I just thought it was hilarious that they're like, now we've got cows. So we're going to do that instead of the guys with the guns. But it was just because, like, the way that the guns worked, the colors of their outfits and everything, it was just identical. So that just tickled me. Anyways, so the show itself, for those of you who want to know, the main characters feature Marshall Moo Montana.
Oh, my gosh.
Dakota Dude and Colorado Kid.
You can't do that. That's illegal.
So Colorado, that wasn't me mispronouncing it, as you might have assumed. He did, despite the fact that they can't be cowboys like herding cows, they can self-referentially have their last name reference the fact that they are, in fact, cows. I will say this. Dakota Dude was played by Jim Cummings, who we only mentioned that because we recently covered Darkwing Duck and Rescue Rangers. And Jim Cummings is basically in every cartoon ever. Yes. He does the voice of, like, Darkwing Duck and just a billion things. So he also did Dakota Dude in this one, along with a million other random characters. And apparently Tim Curry was a recurring character on this as well.
You're joking. Tim Curry
some,
was?
Yeah, he played some con artist. Because, I mean, when you think about it, like, Tim Curry was also on the fucking Wild Thornberries as a staple character. So it's not that insane. Tim Curry randomly just was in the weirdest stuff that you wouldn't have expected for just voice acting.
Wow.
But yeah, it just tickled me to see that. So yeah, anyway, so there's just a fuckload of cows in all the scenes they watch. But then they would also be like, but there's also a goat. But it won't be, like, frequent. It'll just be, like, there'll be, like, the majority of people are, in fact, cows. But then they're just like, there's a goat and, I don't know, a buzzard. Like, fuck it. Just a few. They'll just throw in a few stray animals. Like, just either make them all one animal or a diverse crowd of them. Not just, like, yeah, it's mostly cows, but there are some weird outliers randomly out of the blue. The toys do seem dope, and I mean, I get it. It's like, imagine Ninja Turtles with six shooters and, like, you know, and long rifles and stuff like that. People love cowboys, so I get it. So, but anyways.
Do people love cowboys?
Kids did. That's, like, kind of a thing. Theoretically, kids love it, and theoretically it could be because their parents say, here's a toy that's this. Now you love it.
So, Andy, I did not recognize the title of this when I looked it up. I immediately recognized the characters, and I will say this. Burned in the back of my brain was the deep concern as a child to be like, am I attracted to cattle?
I hold the fuck. Okay, continue, sorry.
Because the black and white cow with the blue hat is just like, okay, I mean, there's like, you're like a little attractive for a cartoon cow. Then these females that they have are,
forget about
it. There's one in a strapless dress and like, ooh, cake.
Cake.
Butt. Juicy butt. Actually, I don't know if anyone has any juicy butt from here. I can't tell in the small picture. But one of them's in like a really nice, like, sweetheart top dress. And one's in like the super cute Western thing. And I'm just like, y'all are hot as hell for some cartoon cattle. Mm.
I mean, that's the thing, is like the fucking horns are symmetric, got the symmetrical faces, like, because the thing is, they didn't make, like, I will say this, it looks like the black and white cow. I didn't really watch enough of this to see, but I'm guessing that if anybody was going to be comic relief, they would be, just from looking like they look like they can laugh and have a smile, but then the other two are just so fucking serious from the pictures. But but yeah, so Cowboys of Moo Mesa. So hopefully,
Cowboys of Moo Mesa. Guys, look that up, because if you're sitting somewhere and you don't know what we're talking about, stop. Google Cowboys of Moo Mesa. You'll be like, this is upsetting. And also, I have a crush on a cow now.
She has
a steer.
A crush on the fucking steer, and it's the tiniest one. It's the one with
the blue one with the gray hat.
Mm. I was gonna say he's fucking stacked.
Mama, girl, Hachi Machi needs to get some ice water. Listen, let's take a break. Yeah, let's get off this weird train that we're on. I'm gonna go get some ice water, hose myself down, and we're gonna come back and cover a judge case, which we love doing. Judge Gabriel's case. We'll be back after the break with the court case and poll results from 2 weeks ago.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye. Hey, 90s Court listeners, Lisa here. I'm here to talk to you really quickly about a product that I absolutely love and I've used every single day for years and years and years. Let me hit you with a couple of scenarios. Perhaps you're miserable because your partner snores like crazy, or maybe you're a night shift worker who can't get proper sleep during the day, or maybe you live in a really loud and busy downtown area. There's hope for you, and it comes in the form of sleep phones from Acoustic Sheep. I'm not lying when I say I've been using them religiously for years, and they're the sole reason I'm not a crazy person suffering from insomnia. Sleep phones are just ultra-soft headphones and a headband that are extremely bed-friendly. Side sleepers can also rejoice, for you can comfortably block out the sounds of the world while getting some soothing, noise-free sleep without hurting your ears. They even have wireless Bluetooth options, so you don't get tangled up in cords overnight. I personally connect mine to my phone each night and listen to some white noise to drown out my partner's snores. I'm telling you, I've gifted them to night shift nurses, in-laws, basically anybody with ears that values a good night's sleep. They even have options now that come preloaded with binaural beats or deeply relaxing ASMR content. So you can find something that's just right for you and maybe not even have to connect to your phone at all if you don't want to. Andy and I both use these now, and we'd love to help you get some rest too. Go to sleepphones.com and use the code 90scourt to get $10 off your order of $39 or more. That's sleepphones.com, and the code is 90scourt. Sweet dreams. Hello and welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the new-ish anchor ad. If you haven't listened to it, maybe now you'll be convinced to start your own podcast.
Maybe you took a break while that was going on to check out the cow, and now you've just been like, wow, now I'm in possession of the worst fetish. But
this is true. Possessionoftheworstfetish.com / Moombasis.
/ Lisa ruined my life with cows.com.
Woo!
I'm under arrest.com. I'm going to jail.com.
The FBI is now surveilling me quite hard.
Yeah, the NSA is concerned.com.
All right. We took a break last week as I was traveling, and it was birthday week for Andy and I, but we have poll results to talk about. One of my favorite episodes to date, The Rock versus Face Off, because it was so ridiculous, because Nick Cage is ridiculous.
That's true.
And I got to watch Face Off on purpose.
It's true.
It was hilarious. Yeah, it was Nick Cage versus Nick Cage in honor of the 4th of July, because he is America the man. Take that, Kid Rock. Move over, Kid Rock. Nicolas Cage is America the man. And
cue the Kid Rock meme where he's storming on the beach.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? The one where he's got a shirt off.
He's storming on the beach?
Where he's like got his arms up and he's clearly, maybe you haven't seen it, but it's just, he clearly looks angry. Yeah.
Okay, well, he's never like a happy-looking dude. But whatever the case is, let's talk about the poll results from 2 weeks ago, Face Off versus The Rock. Facebook, 56.7 to 43.3% in honor of Face Off.
In honor of Face Off.
Like I said to you before the show started, my brain not working so good tonight.
Words are whatever
Twitter,
they are.
Twitter, 52.2% to 47.8%. The Rock.
The Rock.
Fascinating. And then Instagram, 51 to 49% Face Off. So we have a winner. Face Off pulled it off. But as Andy said, it was wicked close. So.
Do you love it? You love it when I put things in note. It was close mainly because there were so many more votes on Twitter that even though it was a narrow margin, it was still a pretty good amount of votes between the two of them. But yeah, I made a joke and the thing was Face Off pulled it off. And I appreciate Lisa caring enough to take the time to kind of halfway do my joke that I made.
I did it.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I love a script.
Yeah. That's one thing I know Lisa loves is a script. anyway, so let's get some snacks. A court case.
Here we go, Ray.
Oh.
That's the sound of this court case.
Here's some ASMR for you.
Gabe, I'm channeling you, Gabe. Here we go.
If you want some real ASMR, go back to the Gushers and go that was back forever to ago.
Fucking
God.
Michael Jack. Oh, the Gushers. You made
seven layer beefy burrito.
The shame calzone.
Shame calzone was what it was called. It was all of the fruit snacks, all of them together in a calzone. So anyways, we've discussed it many times, but we're here. It's court case time, baby. It is Doritos 3-dimensional versus Pop-Tart miniatures. I've elected to cover Doritos 3D, which I'm just going to tell you right now. Like, I was like, oh, there's probably hardly anything on Pop-Tarts Mini, so I'm going to do Doritos 3D. So I'm starting, so that's why I'm saying words now. So Doritos 3D was not much better. Which is also, no. It's again, that's what it happens to be every time it's a snack or anything like that. It's just, there's like no information, especially when it's not like a standalone product. It is a version of another product. So it's like,
yes.
Let me get to my notes here real quick on Doritos 3D. Because especially the fact that since Doritos 3D is now a thing that exists again, finding information on old Doritos 3D, even harder. Because before it'd be like, hey, all the search results are for the bullshit from the 90s. Now it's like one out of every 10 things is that bullshit. Mm-hmm. So let me read you the extent of the information I was able to find on Wikipedia on Doritos 3D and their rich history. Doritos 3D is a line of puffed Doritos introduced in the 1990s and discontinued in the United States in the mid-2000s.
Okay.
These snacks have been described as Doritos meets Bugles. Flavors include jalapeno cheddar, nacho cheese, and zesty ranch. The Doritos 3D line of puffed Doritos is still sold in Mexico. I think this was an old one because I'm like, well, they're sold in the U.S. now too. On December 21st, 2020, it was announced that Doritos 3D would be returning to shelves on December 28th. Which has come and passed, and they're here. The snack is now available in chili cheese nacho and spicy ranch flavors. That is the extent of the information we have available on this entire product. So, and the thing about the Mexico thing was that basically before now, like just like even in the like mid to like 2010 to 2020, it was still available in Mexico randomly. Mexico's like, we fucking love the stuff. I don't know what to tell you. Just I love geometry. So yeah, I love that shit. So I guess first off, any commentary on any of that?
I have never had a 3D Dorito. In my head, I'm like that math, that like math woman gif right now where she's like doing the squinty eyes,
like,
and
all
math
the looking at all the symbols in her head. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sitting here trying to be like, okay, what is the texture like? Is it like, You said like a bugle, so it's got a little bit of bite to it, huh?
Yeah, I'll tell you. So I will say this. It's, well, we'll get to that. Actually, I have a little bit more. Yeah, soon.
So the one thing I did want to say before the court case got started in earnest was that Gabe was concerned that this was not going to be a good matchup. And I was just like, no, sir, this is going to be good.
It's
going to
be a good matchup because they're both just dumb things.
Yes. Yes. I was like, Andy has wanted to cover this for a while, to my understanding, and I have.
It's one of the things that is, it is so pure 90s, and I'm going to get into that a little bit more in a little bit, because most of the information I'm going to have for you today, guys, is my thoughts on things and a lot data.
let's open the door, baby. Let's open the door.
Release the fucking Kraken of Andy's thoughts on Doritos meets Bugles. So first off, as with many non-movie/movie/game/TV-related things that we cover on this show, the dates can vary and are extremely rough. And I mean super rough. I don't know if you were listening during the description that I just gave on fucking Wikipedia. They had the audacity to say, introduced in the 1990s, and no further specificity except that sometime between January 1st of 1990 and December 31st of 1999, these fuckers came around, and we don't know when.
They just were they were in a basket on the river. Someone saw the basket of 3D chips, and they were like, what is this? And then it was just born into the world.
You're mine now. Well, yes. I think I'll raise you. I'll call you Doritos 3D. And so then in the United States in the mid-2000s, So sometime between 1990 and 1999, they came about, and sometime in the mid-2000s, anywhere from, I don't know, 2002 to 2008, Who the fuck knows? They disappeared, but we don't know because Wikipedia's fucking crushing it.
No one took notes. No one at Doritos cared.
That's what I'm saying. This has happened in multiple things in the past where there are rough dates on things. This is the worst one I've seen. Now, I will say there were other things that that narrowed it down a little bit more, but still, it's amazing. When it comes to food, they're like, nobody really pays attention. They're like, oh, it's here. But nobody paid attention to the exact date because they're like, I don't think there's going to be a podcast. I don't know what a podcast is, and it's definitely not going to be existent talking about fucking this in 30 years.
Well, you were wrong.
You were wrong. Sorry, Doritos. So luckily, there are some fanatics out there to help. With the extremely concrete information of 1998, and we'll take that because that's much better than what we had before.
Feels like a late 90s thing.
Yeah, because because we were still like figuring out just like getting flavors, but in the late 90s we're just like, we're rocking into the future, gang. Let's really show the full power of this. So if aliens do invade at some point, they'll be like, well, we don't want to fuck with these guys. Look,
they're fucking three-dimensional puff chips.
Their
don't
chips
fuck
are
with
fucking
this species.
3D, bro. So the vehicle in which you were provided these hot air nuggets was a can.
Oh my gosh.
Akin to like cheese balls or Pringles. So picture, but it's like a much more sleek, I'm trying to think, like, I guess, like, you know, have you ever seen the Frito-Lay version where they made like stackable Lays for a while or whatever? Like they're like kind of a sleeker looking can than a Pringles can.
No.
That's like plastic. Yeah. They came about at one point because they're like, hey, maybe we'll beat Pringles. And Pringles is like, no, we're Pringles, motherfucker. Nobody wants your shit. So it was like a tall, like almost like a thermos. You got a thermos of puffed corn chip. And so you screwed off the lid, basically. And then inside of it, you found your little geodes. That you dumped out into a little, and the lid served as a cup for you to pour in the little balls into, and then you could eat them out of that. You probably didn't, because let's face it, you probably shotgunned them like a beer because you're a dirty boy or woman. Who knows? I don't know your life. So
you never will with that attitude.
It's like you take it, you poke a hole, you stab your pocket knife into the back end, and you just fucking just let them go straight down your throat. That's the proper way to eat Doritos 3D.
Wow.
Some people who are like, I fucking been waiting for this episode for years, guys, and you guys are just fucking shitting, bullshitting about Doritos 3D. Give me some concrete information. All right, here's some information. So like I said, I commented on the fact that the canisters look like what cheese balls would come in. You know, cheese balls, like, you know, when you get like a big thing of cheese balls and you're like, man, these are fine, but I regret the fact that I have so many of them. And so then you just end up having a contest with your friend to see how many balls you can fit in your mouth. And you're like, I win. I got 74. And they're like, oh, man, I only got 65. And then you regret it because then you hurt really bad afterwards.
Wow.
Is that a memory you have?
Is this no?
Oh, OK. Well, that was just
safely,
a side.
I can safely say no. No, because that would A, require me to have friends around and B, be willing to eat in front of them instead of doing it in a shame closet.
This is true.
So
from the best of my recollection, these were more akin to hollow cheese balls than Dorito chips. I will say they were in between, I will say, the two. Like they were not, it wasn't just a hollow cheese ball. Like it was clearly a different product, but it was similar to that in its, I guess a kind of bugle-like-esque material that was a little bit different. Wow. So, don't get me wrong. The fact that Zesty Ranch existed did make my heart sore.
Yes.
But I think this is one of the 90-est things ever. And let me explain what I mean by that, because I think I said this earlier. It's been a while since I've commented on this, but I've said it before, so I apologize if you've heard this a million times from me. The 90s felt like a time when we just said, where the 90s just like went up to all the other decades that have ever existed and said, hey, do you know we could do this? And every other decade was like, oh, no, I didn't, but why'd you do that? But the 90s had already walked away at that point. They were just
exactly
like, we did
right.
it, we did it. And then everybody, like, they didn't stick around to find out if they should do it. They just did it. Exactly. And they were like, look at us. Because there was just no rhyme or reason or logic behind the things that we made. They were just like, maybe this will be cool.
Yes. Yes. This is an observation I make about my product as well.
Maybe
yes.
This will be cool. And that's it. And there's like no other functional purpose for why it needed to be shaped different. Mm-hmm. These were better projectiles than cheese puffs. Now, again, like I said, not a lot of data on this, so I'm going to comment on their ability to be thrown. And the commercial, the one big commercial that you would think of, it's a long one, so I didn't even want to share it because there's no conversation either. It's these two dudes and like some pretty well-known actors and an actress that are at a laundromat.
Okay.
And clearly they're doing the flex of throwing up the chip, the Doritos 3D in the air, and he's catching it in his mouth in a way of flirting with this attractive woman that's coming. She just walks over and is like, give me those fucking chips, motherfucker. She dumps them in the dryer. And so you're just like, oh, this person's just an asshole. Just like fuck your chips. But yeah. Instead, she busts out into the most insane series of events of apparently the insinuation that dryers just spin while the door's still open and just shoot out Doritos 3Ds like fucking bullets and just bounce off a bunch of shit, and she catches them and she's like, flex harder. And then she walked out because she just wanted to just let her know, like, I can catch stuff in my mouth better. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So that was the commercial, is like, hey, we haven't commented on why this is good. We just want you to know that you can catch them in your mouth.
This is something that in theory you could do. You could also put them in your butt if you wanted to.
I love the thought of, there's like, they made another commercial that was the exact same commercial, but they did it with normal Doritos. And they're like, but I can't catch that. My mouth is too big.
Oh my gosh.
And they're like, problem solved. Here we come to the rescue.
Oh my gosh.
Now they're mouth catchable. Anyways, so I will say this. Segue. What is you know the cheese balls? You know the foam stuff.
The foam.
You know
stuff?
How, you know what cheese balls are made of, or like there's like a million things. Like you can get popcorn that's made of it, or whatever. Like this mm-hmm. foamy, like crunchy stuff, or whatever that all cheese balls are made of.
Correct.
And it's in a bunch of other stuff. What the fuck is that?
Rat shit. I don't know. I don't know what it is. What is it? Do you know?
You know the hard foam shit that if you put any liquid into it, it turns into slime. I just wanted to say that because we were talking about cheese balls, and I just wanted to mention it because it's one of the weirdest substances that we willingly put in our body and eat and don't think twice about what the fuck is this insane crunchy foam that I'm putting in my mouth.
Correct.
Anyways. So, clearly Doritos 3D, again, was supposed to be something that was supposed to be cool, because, I don't know, like, it looked like they made the way they had designed it, like, it's kind of like, you know, Mountain Dew, Pepsi, Doritos, like, those are, like, the ones that are, like, this is what cool kids do in their spare time, is they eat and drink our product, and Doritos 3D was really just, like, the next level of that, but they forgot to make it good, and so, like I said, when I say forgot to make it good, I'm not saying that it was bad. It was fine. Like, it was fine. There was just nothing, there was nothing special about it. It was just a bad chip. It was like the mixture, like they said, between Fritos and, or Bugles and a Dorito.
Wow.
So anyways, they're cool. They're rad. It was great. So people have been begging for it back. For decades, of course, because anytime something leaves, we're like, I want it back. And then eventually the company's like, fine, here it is. You're going to find out that you don't like it. And then we do, usually. So I'm sure that'll
exactly
be happening
what
soon. Yeah. I will say this, in 2015, though, they're like, fine, we'll acquiesce and we'll bring it back. And so they brought what's called Doritos Jacked 3D in 2015, which was not at all the same thing. It was basically abstract art that was vaguely Dorito-shaped and not at all a big puff. So it was not the same thing at all. It was like, think of like
what
signs.
What was that called?
Doritos Jacked 3D.
Jacked.
Yeah. 3D. So picture like what are those, like, whenever there's, like, alien signs, like, out in the corn, like, in cornfields or whatever.
Yeah.
It looks like that, like, it's supposed to be an alien sign or whatever. And that was just a real misstep. Because it was just like, I mean, I don't know what you were going for here. You didn't give the fans what they wanted or make a good product.
Yeah, what the hell is this? It looks like a Ouija board.
Yep, it's there to take your soul and let the demons in.
For no reason. Yeah, for no reason, Doritos.
So anyways, finally there was enough people that were horny for the 90s. So Frito was like, fine, fuck, we'll give it back. All right, we saw you. Apparently you're really excited about the fucking... I just lost it. Dunkaroos. So I guess we'll give you the fucking Doritos 3D.
True.
Plus, it's been a really bad year and you guys deserve it. Because it was 2020 that this came back. So now, if you want Doritos 3D, the problem is they're like, we brought it back. But we gave you two flavors total. And one of them is nacho chili cheese. And who does not like chili flavor in anything, I feel like I have to inflict like a boil order on these. And I'm just like, I don't understand why you ruined one of the two things that you had. You ruined it by making it this flavor. Like nacho cheese was fine. Like, why did you introduce a flavor that is not even commonly agreed upon that we want on chips?
Interesting.
And that being said, a lot of people like it, but that's why they make that as like an extra side product, not as one of your two main ones. And then the other ones, they're like, okay, we brought ranch back. Like, fucking finally. It's going to be spicy, though. And I'm like, all right, I'm cool with that. I still think it's weird because a lot of people don't like spicy stuff, and it feels weird for it to be spicy ranch instead of spicy nacho. So they did bring them back. They did make one of them inedible and one of them weird. So if you want them, you can go get them, I guess, and you'll be like, huh, yeah, these aren't that great either. They're not supposed to. Apparently, they're not exactly the same as the old ones. But, I mean, that's also the same with any of them because there's no data or way to really prove it because I doubt anybody held on to the Doritos 3D recipe from 1998 to keep it just in case. Like, in case we ever need to bring this back in 2021, we'll hold on to this just in case. So, anyways, Doritos 3D.
Wow, I am disappointed. I do not have any of those to try. Did you buy any to try during this?
Oh, no, I did not.
No, you didn't?
I didn't care about them then, and I definitely don't care about them now.
I actually...
Here's the thing. Like I said, it's a very 90s thing, and it's such a good... That's the thing when I brought it up is how much I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it is the most 90s thing because it's the most, hey, we can do this. And people are like, but...
But why?
Why? You don't need to. They're like, hold on. Just watch.
They go, hey, shut up a minute.
We're good. We're doing it, right?
We're pivoting over here. We're pivoting.
Pivot.
We're
pivot.
Doing this. Pivot. Okay. As Andy has said, the 90s, in my opinion, were the best of times / the worst of times for kids' snacks. Like, we really just loved eating whatever the fuck a corporation decided to shovel at our fat little faces. We were just like, yes, Papa, give me more trash. And they were like, yes. They're like, we absolutely will. We are Kellogg's. We are Doritos. We will destroy your body. And we loved it. We absolutely loved it. And it was absolutely delicious trash. And we ate trash like little American raccoon trash can people. And it was so
just
delicious.
Just picture me with a big old shovel just digging into the 90s trash. Just shoveling it in my mouth.
Oh, is that a landfill? No, that's my pantry. It is 1996. Thank you. Thank you for noticing. So from like sugary sour fruit straws to cereal that was literally just cookies or marshmallows, we ate it all. But today we're covering a treat I didn't even know existed and had no reason to know. But alas, here we are today. I'm covering Pop-Tarts Minis. Which is in parentheses a bite-sized pastry snack per their packaging. Okay,
so
sweet.
Yeah, just like, hey, in loot, like, you know how Pop-Tarts, what about we'll finish sentence, what about smaller? Okay, good.
Carry on. Don't worry, we're Kellogg's, we know exactly what you want.
We know
right?
what you're doing, it's fine, don't worry.
Yeah, so I Pop-Tarts have always been questionable at best in my book. And today I would say that that hesitation remains a little bit. But I think that like what you were saying, I think that the 90s were slightly obsessed with taking larger foods and making them smaller, more like like just more easily frenzied consumption style. So like French toast crunch, French toast is big, but now you've got small French toast Pop-Tart minis. You had the big Pop-Tarts, now you have small Pop-Tarts and cookies crisp. It's just a bowl of cookies.
Cookie crisp.
It's a bowl of goddamn cookies. So
Pop-Tart side note, you know they have Chips Ahoy cereal now?
Stop it.
I just saw it at the I saw it at the thing and I was like, holy shit. And I was like, wait, this is just cookie crisp. So I just ignored it.
This is just cookie crisp. Oh, that sounds so good. Chips Ahoy will always be my ride or die.
Mm-hmm.
True that. So Pop-Tart originally released the minis in 1994. And for what reason, really? What reason? What I find odd about this concept is that Pop-Tarts were already an on-the-go breakfast concept, like the most on-the-go breakfast concept. And make this already deliciously portable snack breakfast more portable? Mm-hmm. Question mark. You could have just made a Pop-Tart smoothie. Oh my god, I just gave away a product idea. God. Son of a bitch.
Well, coming soon.
Coming soon, Pop-Tart
coming
smoothie.
Coming soon to a gullet near you. Smoothie.
So I want to take a moment to acknowledge Pop-Tarts, because even though I've been shitting on it just a little bit, I remembered how much I loved buying the chocolate
the
brownie
ones.
Pop-Tart. The fudge Pop-Tarts. Heating that motherfucker up and sitting there with two per package and a tall glass of ice cold milk. Mm. And I'm telling you, that was my first boyfriend.
And the crazy thing is that that wasn't around forever. It was like the s'mores were there forever. And then they're just like, punted the fucking marshmallow and just made it chocolate? How about that? And then,
yes, Papa. That sounds good, Papa.
Please, sir, shove it in my mouth, please.
Yeah, I didn't even always heat it up first. I would just sometimes just like tear open the package, because apparently I was just a calorie monster who was just like, I have 15 minutes of nothing happening. Let me eat some Pop-Tarts?
Please?
Question mark. But like, please? So a Pop-Tart was one of the greatest treats ever invented when I look back, even though I was shitting on it earlier. But like, oh, I'm wondering, aside from a market grab, why they decided to ditch the things that made Pop-Tarts amazing and instead just make them accessible as more of a snack. It's just a market grab thing. That's literally all this was. They saw, crunchy, it's a new product. I get it. So I don't have any other information, but what I do have are two bags of Pop-Tarts Bites. I've never had these in my life.
Are you gonna do some real hardcore ASMR?
Gabe, this is for you. I'm gonna try because this is apparent. I looked it up, but these apparently are basically what was available in the 90s.
The names, I think, to something else now. Bites instead of minis, but yeah.
Correct. Yeah, so I went to Walmart today, my arch nemesis. I got a huge container of them so that my kids could join in me in this adventure. Shame. My kids said, before I started the show, I was like, what did you guys think of these? And one child said, they were very good. They were so too good.
Oh, wow,
And then one child hugged me and said, I'm not joking, one of my children hugged me and said, thank you for buying this for me. I really love you. So,
what the fuck? Holy
so
shit.
So I earned my children's love.
Apparently.
With Pop-Tart Bites. Or Pop-Tart, well, I'll call them Pop-Tart Minis. Andy, I have strawberry and chocolate. What do I start with?
Chocolate, you monster.
Okay.
Strawberry is like, strawberry,
Andy,
is the least.
Oh, it's the same smell as the fudge Pop-Tart that I know and love. I have not had a fudge Pop-Tart in, like, I'm not joking, 20 years. Okay.
Go.
Is it filled with, it's squishy. Okay. Fuck you, this is so good.
Are they like, if you compare them to normal ones, is there more inside, or is it comparable to a normal one? Like, is it like more goo inside than a normal Pop-Tart, or is it just literally like Pop-Tart stickers?
It's Pop-Tart stickers. I would say it's comparable.
Okay.
To the, I would say that it's proportionate. Mm. Oh, the chocolate was very good, Andy.
I just wanted to just like say, for like the record, they're not Pop-Tart bites. I do have about six boxes of Pop-Tarts within eye shot of me.
You should just have one right now. Okay.
Because every pretty much breakfast, like every morning, I'm just like, I just need to get some calories in my body because like I'm on the go. So I just.
Yeah, of course. No, yeah. That's an easy one to run with. An easy one. But okay. I'm telling you, Andy, I haven't had a Pop-Tart in like 20 years. And the strawberry is exactly how I remember it from my childhood. It smells exactly. These are not as crunchy as I thought. They really are, according to the package. Tasty filled pastry bites. They really like they're. Ooh. I thought they were going to be crunchy like chips. They're just small Pop Tarts. Okay.
Okay.
Fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Strawberry is so good.
Okay.
Oh no. I like it.
How's your auditory experience, everybody? You getting hot and bothered over there?
Gabriel, should I like open mouth chew to make it really gross? No wonder my children told me they love me finally.
I don't know. I really like. I don't know. I really liked the episode until it kind of turned into pornography near the end.
I didn't actually intend for this to be an ASMR thing. I just thought it would be fun to do a live taste test.
We did do that. I don't know if you all know or if you remember. So again, this was forever ago. We talked about Shame Calzone when we did a live taste test of Gushers and Fruit by the Foot, and that was one where. We were also on video at that point back then. And I think that was one where we still have video and we actually posted it of me being so elated and Lisa like it would be like a cat being thrown in water the way that she was complaining about how bad her Gushers tasted.
I can't hang with quite so much sugar. I mean, I eat sugar, but when it's concentrated like that, I'm not
happy to hear you
eat
food and not be upset about it. This is the first time I've had that experience of you not being mad at food.
Well, because this is buried deep in my lizard brain. I'm going to have another chocolate one because this is really, I wish you were here, Andy, so you could have some too. This is really, you should, well, you, have you seen these? They're in the Pop-Tart aisle.
On the internet, but I've never bought them because I thought, you know what I could do? Is
not each
one. I just get a normal size Pop-Tarts and break it into pieces because that's what I do normally anyways.
This is delicious. This is how they get us, Andy. Mm-hmm. They make delicious treats for the kids and then you're not the kid and then you eat them and then everyone's just eating Pop-Tarts bites. That was really good.
Wow.
I'm really disappointed in myself.
I'm glad that you and your kids have a similar palate. So
Man, Pop-Tarts bites, Pop-Tart minis.
I was gonna say, do you have more content on Pop-Tart minis, or you want me to take us out?
I don't, because I couldn't find anything on them. I wanted to taste test them and try them. I just don't understand why the '90s were like why they did this with snacks. Why the Doritos 3D were like, you already have a very good product. What you've done is just like gotten real fucky with the chip for some reason. There was no need for this. This was unnecessary. Now, having tried it, because I had never even seen them as a kid, I never saw them in the 90s. I had to even message Gabriel and be like, okay, is this a cereal? Is this a snack? Like, what is this? And once I realized there was a product of it available, then I was like, well, I'm actually going to try it because I would have had no idea.
I will say making it like this makes it much more of a feasible snack. It does feel weird just grabbing basically like a note card, like a big note card and just eating it in the middle of the day.
I love my pastry note cards. Oh, Pop-Tarts are so good. I don't know why they did this other than it was just kind of for fun. Honestly, they're not bad. I probably would not buy them on an ongoing basis for the kids just because this just seems nutritionally unsound. But holy shit, look at that ingredient list. But Pop-Tarts, you did this for some reason. You did this to me.
Yep, they did. So anyway, so Doritos 3D and Pop-Tarts Minis. Thanks everybody for joining in the court case. And for, frankly, you can listen to Lisa continue to eat and cruffle the packaging while I take us out.
Should I have another strawberry while you eat?
Oh, please. I just make groaning noises while I do this. So, where to find us? You can check us out at 90s Court on Facebook and Twitter. Check us out at 90s.court on Instagram.
It's so too sweet.
Basically, if you want to vote on the polls to tell us who you think is the best, Instagram, check out our story where you can vote. And that'll be up for 24 hours, so get in there and vote quickly. Facebook and Twitter. Twitter usually is up the next day, and you'll have a couple days. And Facebook, you can pretty much do it whenever, so whatever. Also, if you want to hop in, get some shout-outs, get some bonus content that we're totally going to bring to you soon.
I started working on it yesterday. I have great content.
Good. Patreon.com/90sCourt. Mm-hmm. And, of course, check out our merch store, because that still exists. Hop on tpublic.com/user/the90sCourt. And as always, gang, hop on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser and leave us a nice 5-star rating review. And actually, you know what? Don't leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, because then we'll ruin it, because we just reached 69 reviews.
Don't review us. Noice. Don't do anything.
But if you, I'm just kidding. If you do want to leave us one, that'd be great. Just pull that Band-Aid off. Get us to 70. That way we can stop being children.
No, please don't.
Okay. Well.
Wow. Gabriel, did you eat these on purpose in the 90s? Did you buy these?
I don't understand. You've been like enjoying them so much and now you're insulting them.
Because I'm getting sick to my stomach off of them. Like I had two chocolate and two strawberry. One package of, let's see, if I've eaten two, there's
Gabriel,
two, four,
don't worry.
There's
don't
six,
listen to her.
There's like 8 or 9 per package for 150 calories. So that's not bad. That's actually a pretty
fulfilling
treat.
She literally is just like, I'm going to have to go have my broccoli after this. And
I would love some roasted broccoli
just a thin slice of turkey, and that's it for the rest of the day.
Why do you know me so well? I love shaved deli turkey and roasted broccoli. I air roasted a salmon fillet for lunch today. Or air fried, uh-huh. Not air roasted, air fried. And now I'm eating Pop-Tarts bites, which are good. These, I mean,
basically
I don't know. I kind of want to, salmon fillet, Pop-Tart bites. Who mm-hmm. can tell the difference nutritionally, honestly?
Lisa, man. Do you have any parting remarks before we depart that has nothing to do with fucking salmon fillet?
I don't. I have nothing. Gabriel, thank you for calling this. This was a weird one, but it was a good one.
I had fun. It was a blast.
I also had fun, but now I need to brush my teeth.
It's so nice when we're not burdened with having to give factual information so we can just say that whatever bullshit comes to our mind.
We just shoot from
the
hips. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm going to be shooting from the mouth. Throwing
well, anyways, gang, I'm going to go ahead and take us out so you guys can stop listening to Lisa to vomit. Anyways, we will catch you all next week, and hopefully we'll catch you guys on Patreon here soon with some bonus content. And we love you all. Stay rad, and we'll see you next week.
Moo Mesa.